Hello again, this is Pastor Robert, welcoming you to another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I hope you stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. They could be life-changing. And we're going to talk about some Christmas things today, some Christian things, some things that involve eternal things. So we don't want you to miss this broadcast. Hallelujah. So a lot of things are going to pass away. But Jesus said, my word will not pass away. And not only will his word not pass away, but those that do his will, the Bible said, is going to abide forever. So we become, by following Jesus Christ as our Savior and our King, as eternal as the Word of God is itself. So, folks, you just stay tuned. We're going to talk about the wonderful wonder of Christmas today. We're going to talk about some things that I believe is going to thrill your soul. It might make you a little bit angry when I read to you some of the things that are really representative of a very great attack on Christianity and Christ himself, but the joy of this season cannot be transcended by any kind of controversy that swirls around it. This is a high holy day for Christians that is coming up. Christmas Day, the day that Jesus Christ was born. Amen. And so we want to revisit this great, great story of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and maybe get a hold of some insights and understand that Jesus' words when he said, I didn't come to send peace on the earth. See, he came to bring peace between God and man, but actually, he said, I came to send a sword and to set at variance. Isn't that incredible that this little child born in Bethlehem would still be the man of such controversy today? It's because he was not like no other man who ever lived. He was who he said that he was. He was the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, God incarnate. Hallelujah. So we want to talk about lifting high the light of the world in an ever darkening culture. And we want to talk about Jesus and how important and vital it is that we lift him up even more when the gospel of Jesus Christ comes under such attack. Amen. We want this to be the most blessed Christmas season that you have ever had. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we don't want you to get that big letdown after Christmas, you know, after you realize how much you've spent and how long it's going to take to pay for it and all of the, and now you've got to clean up all the mess, and usually the lady of the house ends up with a lot of that responsibility. And I had compassion on my wife after Thanksgiving, and I did the dishes, and I'm kind of patting myself on the shoulder. She worked so very hard, and it was a joy for me to take some of the load off of her. I told her, "You go sit down. I'll take care of the dishes this time." And it felt good to do that. Well, she's got a good husband. I got a good wife. She brings the good out of me. I want to, 44 years, in fact, I've had this good lady by my side. Praise God. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 9 and verse 6, and we're going to talk about lifting high Jesus Christ, the light of the world in an ever-darkening culture. And it simply says, this great prophecy concerning what we're about to celebrate in just a few weeks here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One translator says, these be his royal titles. I ministered this message back in 2004 in our congregation, and I'll always remember 2004 because of the violent reaction in our culture to the name of God's Son and our Savior. There's never been a time in the history of our nation when God's Word and God's Son have come under such attack in this nation. I watched on television as they covered with a tarpaulin, the Ten Commandments, until the large granite display could be removed from a courthouse lobby. signifying that federal and state buildings have now become God-free zones. I heard of an incident at Berkeley in California when patriotism was running high after 9/11. A banner on campus that read, "God Bless America," was ordered taken down because it might be offensive to any student who didn't believe in God or who calls their God by another name. Our educational institutions, including elementary schools, have become, for all practical purposes, God-free zones. Boy, I remember when I was in school, and that's been a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, it seems. But I do remember when I was in school, the godly teachers that I had, praying women, and that impacted my life, influenced my life, that taught us more than mathematics, taught us morality, and taught us that we should be moral men and women when we grew up, and gave us moral guidelines that were biblically based, and they did this without anyone opposing them doing this, because then we still considered this to be a Christian nation. If I was in Iraq, if I was in Afghanistan, if I was in any nation in the Arab world, I wouldn't expect Christianity to be heralded as the religion of that nation. I know that their religion is Islam, and I would not be offended by the fact, though I don't adhere to nor believe in the tenets of Islam, I would not be offended by the fact that these people are worshiping and practicing their faith publicly and in public places and in businesses, because they are Muslim nations. Well, America has been known from the inception as a Christian nation. You know, we're going to have to throw our money away if people keep taking this attitude, because on my coins, it still says, "In God we trust." And it is not an offense in a Christian nation to talk about publicly Jesus Christ for those who choose to believe in Him. We have a great Christian heritage here in America, and that Christian heritage, as you well know, is under attack. But you know, I want to deal not only with that aspect, I want to deal with lifting Jesus up anyhow, wherever we can, whenever we can. Praise God. You know, Christmas season is supposed to be a joyous time, and I was taken back when I read of the anger and the angst that has been levied against a faith that represents someone who loved us enough to go to the cross and lay down His life. Jesus said these words, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." Praise God. Our educational institutions, including elementary schools, have become now God-free zones. That particular week when I got this sermon prepared on CNN National News came the story of a woman in the state of Florida who displayed a manger scene in a public place and the controversy it caused. They let it stay up for a little while, but disclaimers were attached to it that read, "The city council does not endorse this expression of the Christmas holiday." Today on CNN, on CNN, the topic of discussion was Christmas battleground. What's happening, so you may ask me? Well, the light is getting brighter and the darkness is getting darker. A secular non-Christian commentator said, "If you take Christ out of Christmas, all you have left is a commercial holiday, a day for greedy marketers to mop up." And so I want you to understand that that this little baby that was born in Bethlehem, that so many people discredit and discount, is the topic of so much debate in the 21st century. Isn't it amazing that this little baby that people just absolutely refuse many times to believe in or upon has become such an issue of controversy. How can a carpenter's son from a little city, you know what Bethlehem, the name of that city, Bethlehem means? It means city of bread. And the scripture, the ancient prophecy said of Bethlehem that though thou art smallest and littlest and the most insignificant city of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come that shall be ruler. Isn't it amazing that out of this insignificant, infinitesimal little city whose only claim to anything was that they baked a very cheap bread for poor people to buy and to eat. Incredible that out of this little place, a little baby born to poor parents in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn, isn't it amazing that this baby that people say was just a mere man is the object of such controversy? Isn't it amazing also that he has impacted this world like no other figure in all of human history? Hallelujah. You know why that is? That's because he is who he said he was. Jesus is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Hallelujah. Amen. And the devil well knows that he is who he said that he was. And the devil will inspire all kinds of controversy around this birth and this gospel and this message. One great preacher of old was asked of a journalist, how can you, being an intelligent man, believe in Jesus virgin birth and believe in a literal hell and believe that there is an entity called the devil? And he said to that journalist, if you don't believe there's a devil, just try opposing him sometime. And I have preached the gospel for over 35 years, and I can tell you, my enemy is very real. And without God's armor and without trusting God, there is no way that I could be standing. You know what Jesus said to Peter? He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, when you overcome and become another man and walk in that bold faith of victory, then strengthen your brethren. Well, my brother and my sister, I'm here today to strengthen my brethren, because the devil is through everything he's got at me, but he cannot overcome the one that lives in me. And that's why I'm standing strong for Jesus Christ today. He that is in me and he that is in you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, is still greater than he that is in the world. Praise God. Amen. A secular non-Christian commentator that would say if you take Christ out of Christmas, you turn it into nothing more than a commercial holiday. When people who are non-believers still understand that we're taking something vital from the heritage and legacy of the Christian faith here in America, I commend that commentator for taking that stand. Remember, our argument is not just with flesh and blood. There are, in fact, spiritual forces at work. 1 John 4 and verse 3 said, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." Notice, this spirit is not anti-religion. It is not anti-church. It is not anti-preaching, nor even anti-God in the generic sense. It is specifically anti-Christ. Satan has a real problem with the Messiah, the Christ, or the one who is translated the Anointed One, specifically Jesus. You know why he has such an issue with Jesus? Because there's one mediator, the scripture declares, between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the Savior. And he, if you don't know him today, he wants to become your personal Savior. Jesus was anointed for this purpose. He came into the world for this purpose. So the prince of darkness has good reason to fear the King of Glory. Not only is his own doom sealed, he can no longer hold captive those who trust Christ as their Savior. On Christmas Day, over 2,000 years ago, a son was given. God was incarnate, a baby was born a king, an infant was born a Savior, both a sacrificed lamb and a sovereign king simultaneously was born in Bethlehem. And the devil fears this baby. It's amazing, there's a mighty revival going on right now in China. Some estimates that have been given is that 20,000 people per day are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amazing, in a Marxist, communist country, atheistic in its philosophy, amazing revival is taking place. There is a revival in Soviet Russia. One of the incredible things to me is that I couldn't hand out Bibles on a university campus here in Tampa, and yet in here in any state that I know of in America, but you can hand out Bibles at the University of Moscow in Red Square, and they are gladly accepted. Incredible what God has done behind the bamboo curtain in China, behind the iron curtain in Russia. God is moving by His Spirit. Jesus is still being exalted. In the midst of all the attacks, the Christian faith is not being weakened. It is getting stronger. I remember when Paul was imprisoned and he was persecuted for the faith, he said, the brethren are waxing bold because of my bonds. The more attacks that come on the gospel of Jesus Christ and upon Christ Himself, the more it makes me want to preach and proclaim Him. I want to shout it from the housetops. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is born. And not only is He born, He lived. He went to the old rugged cross. He laid down His life that we might have life eternal. He ascended to heaven, and bless God, He's coming again soon. Praise the Lord. I am more fired up to preach this gospel in the midst of the swirling controversy around Jesus, in the midst of the political incorrectness of following Him publicly. I'm telling you, I want to follow my Lord, and I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. I heard the beautiful story of a true story of a man who was blind, who took his little stick, and he was four blocks from the church he attended. There was a sidewalk, so he had to easily find his way to church on Sunday morning. And every Sunday morning, and this was before the Braille stuff, you know, this is before those wonderful Braille Bibles that you can take your fingertips and actually touch the scripture and read the Word of God. Wonderful technological breakthroughs for blind people. And he's packing this big King James Bible, and he's walking down the sidewalk tapping, clearly blind. And this lady that sat on her porch every morning watching him walk by with his Bible, knowing that he was blind, she finally couldn't take it anymore. One morning she stopped him at her gate and said, "Sir, I got to ask you a question. If you're blind, why do you carry a Bible with you to church?" And he said, "Ma'am, I just want everybody to know whose side I'm on." Praise God. Amen. Well, folks, amen. I want the same thing. When I bow my head in a Boston Market before I eat, if I bow my head in Mickey D's, if I bow my head publicly, not to make a show of anything, but just to let God know and anybody looking on know whose side I'm on. I'm going to give thanks to my God in a public place. I'm still an American, and I still have the right, amen, to worship my God, and Jesus Christ is my King. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something today. If you don't know Him, He wants to be your King too. Why is the gospel thriving under such threat and persecution in China? It's because Jesus is real. He really did live. He really did die on the cross. He really did ascend to heaven. He really is coming again. And Jesus is alive and well. And by the Holy Spirit, He's being made known and manifest all over this world. You know what? One of the high-ranking political officials in China was quoted as saying, because now they recognize the growing church in China and the growing revival as a threat to change the culture, and they want the culture to stay just like it is, a darkened, atheistic, God-free zones. And I'm telling you something, God is on the move. But let me show you how intimidated the world is by this little innocent child that was born on that day 2,000 years ago. This official, this powerful official who is part of the persecuting the church there, which is under persecution in China, political and physical persecution. He said, "We must kill the babe while he's still in the manger." In other words, isn't it amazing? It wasn't there a man by the name of Herod when Jesus was born that said the same thing? And it's being echoed down through the years in the 21st century. He can't touch Jesus Christ. Of course, he's talking about stopping this gospel before it becomes a powerful force in that nation. Well, it's too late to stop the gospel. This gospel is carried by more than just men and women who proclaim it and preach it, missionaries, evangelists, and preachers. This gospel is anointed of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. God is behind this, and God is real. Glory be to God. Amen. One of the most familiar passages in the Bible is familiar because of its frequent appearance on Christmas cards and in Christmas sermons. Is also one of the most profound and mysterious passages in the Bible. And I'm referring to Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. "For unto us," again, "a child is born. For unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The mystery is how a mere child, born like other children, could also be the Everlasting Father. The very term seemed to constitute, in modern jargon, an oxymoron. That is, an impossible contradiction in terms. The same problems encountered that in that other very familiar Christmas verse, Micah 5:2. Listen, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that shall be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Then consider the great prophecy of the virgin birth, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, that is Isaiah 7:14, as cited by the angel in Matthew 1:23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." God himself with us in the guise of a virgin-born child. How can such things be? What a mystery this is, but what majesty is that God would take on flesh and come into our fallen world, and not just come here to help us, but to come here to save us, to go to the cross and die in our place. It is what majesty is in the message of Christmas. I call it the mystery. I call it the majesty. Jesus was the Father from the beginning. However, he has become forever Emmanuel, God with us. He who was the very brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, Hebrews 1:3, was made in the likeness of men, according to Philippians 2:8. He was one with the mighty God and the everlasting Father, but has now become one with us, made like unto his brethren, according to Hebrews 2:17, in order that he, as Emmanuel, might also become Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins, according to Matthew 1:21. He who had created all things, Ephesians 3:9, finally became a human body in which he himself would dwell, and in which he would then die for our sins and rise again for our justification. Hallelujah. That, my friend, is majesty and mystery, all wrapped up together. Praise the Lord. Amen. What an exciting message this is. It is a mystery. I'll grant you that. 1 Timothy 3:16-17 said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Jesus was God incarnate. He's the second person of the Godhead, and He is one with His Father. That's why He can be called the everlasting Father as well. Hallelujah. What majesty. Philippians 2:9-11. "Wherefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name that is named, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." We should counter the prince of darkness by lifting up the King of Kings. God is with us equates to God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? If Jesus is your King, then lift Him up this Christmas season. Is He the King of Kings? Then praise His name this Christmas season. Is Jesus Lord of Lords? Then bow to Him and Him alone this Christmas season. Praise God. Folks, I want to tell you, in spite of all the things that come to distract us, including the commercialization of Christmas, and that doesn't mean we don't give gifts. I love to put up lights. I love to give gifts. And I must admit, getting gifts isn't bad either. Hallelujah. But my friend, don't let anything take away, even the gifts, even the trees, even the lights. Don't let anything take away from the glory of this great event that is still reverberating in the 21st century. What happened that dark night in Bethlehem is touching the nations of the world today. A carpenter's son coming out of a city that is unknown, that had no influence whatsoever, from a poor family. No. That name would have been lost way, way, way back in history. But something happened that is still shaking this world today. Jesus lived like no man ever lived, died like no man ever died, rose from the dead like no man ever rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Because He was the Son of the living God. And the devil is real as Jesus is real. And the gospel is under attack today. Christians are being persecuted around the world. But this gospel is being preached into all the world. And people are coming to know Jesus, not because they are being indoctrinated into a Western culture and a Western religious system, but because this is a truth that is eternal, and it is verified by the Spirit of God when it is preached and received. God is moving in our world today with great persecution against the gospel. It will not stop the mighty Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the babe in Bethlehem became a man who went to a cross, and He is a mighty, mighty, mighty warrior today. Hallelujah. And Jesus is alive and well, and I love to proclaim Him, and I love to particularly tell people that He can be your Savior, and He can change your life today. This man who conquered death, hell, and the grave, hallelujah, and went to the cross for you, this Savior can change your life today. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you today that this could be the greatest Christmas that you've ever known in all your life. A Christmas gift that keeps on giving throughout all eternity is Jesus Christ. Would you open your life to Him right now and say, "Jesus, I've sinned. I've sinned against You. I know that I have. I can't save myself, but I cannot avoid facing the fact that something happened on Christmas Day 2,000 years ago, over 2,000, that is shaking our world today and shaping it. Jesus Christ, I receive You now as my Lord and my personal Savior. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. We love you so much. I hope you stay tuned as we approach Christmas Day and we talk about this great controversial King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tune in right here next week on WMAF at 2 p.m. Don't you miss it. And why don't you call someone? Tell them to listen in. We love you up there in Madison, and we love you listening by computer in every state that you're hearing this and every nation in the world.